Something interesting happened to me a few weeks back. I always find that something weird technologically happens when I'm away from home. When I'm traveling for work or on vacation, there's always some weird technical glitch. I don't know if that happens to you guys, but it always seems to happen to me. I'll get locked out of a Twitter account, or some weird thing happens with Gmail. You get the idea. Since I did a podcast about Jamaica, you know that I was in Jamaica a couple of weeks ago. And while I was there, I got a weird alert from Facebook. I have a service that takes all of my websites, this podcast, this blog, a couple of other things that I do. It grabs all those news feeds and it distributes them to all of my social media accounts. So if you're friends with me on Facebook or Twitter, I'm not actually posting those things. It just grabs the feed and posts them out. But I got this notice from Facebook basically saying that they are taking 2 years' worth of posts down and that essentially these news feeds, they're not valid. It's fake news. I was not happy about this, and the mechanism to provide feedback and to have a communication about it was awful. They essentially had like a link attached to your old post saying that you can contest it. I had 100 posts by that point. Long story short, I clicked on a few, I sent them a very nasty note, and miraculously a few days later, I think my content's back online. I can't even 100% tell. But no communication from Facebook, no dialogue. I wasn't even sent an email about it. I had to go into my feed and actually look at my posts to see that they weren't active. So this event made me start thinking about Facebook. I was already starting to track this news story emerging that certain tech executives were saying that Facebook and social media were not good for children. Having a five-year-old, it's something that I like to pay attention to. So I was already starting to cover that story, and then this happened, and I'm sure this is a response to their fake news issue. And then I'm also reading that, in general, there's a decline in Facebook usage for other social media platforms. Put those things together, and I think that's an interesting topic for a podcast. So this week, we're talking about Facebook. I'm Joey Lombardi, and this is SourceCast episode 106. So let's start with declining usage. Facebook apparently has a young people problem. Facebook just isn't cool for the young kids anymore. You got grandmas and grandpas and parents. They're sharing all their nonsense on Facebook. So the kids, they're fleeing. I found a USA Today article from the summer that starts to lay out some of the issues that Facebook is facing. That didn't sound so good. Facebook is facing? That Facebook is encountering. The article quotes another company called eMarketer, which predicted that 14.5 million people from the ages of 12 to 17 will use Facebook in 2017, which was a decline of 3.5% from the previous year. Monthly Facebook usage for those under 12 and from the ages of 18 to 24 will grow more slowly than previously forecasted. So where are they going? Snapchat and Instagram. Snapchat was expected to grow in usage around 6% this year to almost 80 million users. Instagram, which is owned by Facebook, was expected to grow 24% in 2017 to 86 million users. As a reminder, Facebook has 2 billion users right now. Vanity Fair also covered the topic and also basically said that while people are leaving Facebook, a lot of them are leaving for Instagram. But why are people leaving? According to Oscar Orsko, who also works for eMarketer, younger people are finding Facebook less compelling and less engaging. Teens and tweens remaining on Facebook seem to be less engaged, logging in less frequently and spending less time on the platform. And this is an important point for later in the podcast. At the same time, there's a situation where there are Facebook nevers, children who never use the platform, but they're still using Instagram. So basically, Facebook still wins. Maybe. Now let's talk about fake news. That term, fake news, has been very popular since the 2016 election. Facebook seems to have caught most of the grief for the quote-unquote distribution of fake news. I'm not judging here, people. I'm not getting into a political conversation. But obviously, there's been a lot of talk in the media, who might have a vested interest in this topic, about the distribution of fake news through the Facebook platform. Politicians are screaming about Facebook. Parents are screaming about Facebook, about the way they're distributing information. Facebook has really faltered with addressing the topic, and I feel for them in this situation, even though I'm sort of annoyed with them right now. Facebook is essentially a sharing platform. It's a means for people to log in and share an idea, a picture, an article, When you start filtering that content or trying to find an algorithm or a system to start filtering certain types of content, you're running into a problem. Hence my issue at the open of the podcast. Last month, Facebook introduced new guidelines to stop quote-unquote fake news and focus on trusted news sources. There was a Mashable article from January 19th by Kerry Flynn that details some of these changes. And I quote, "Facebook said it is working on elevating local news, not particularly in the news feed, but by growing a separate section called Today In, which was announced earlier this month. Zuckerberg still wants news to be a part of Facebook, just to a lesser extent. At the time of the article's posting, news still made up about 5% of news content in the news feed, and the company expects that to drop to 4%. For publishers, the change to prioritize trusted sources could either be great or horrible news. Facebook admitted in a blog post that publishers will either see an increase or decrease in traffic based on the company's chosen ranking. So let's stop there. Facebook has been using algorithms to determine what people see for years. I noticed the things that I was posting, especially if it came from an independent third party or a newsfeed, things that I didn't directly generate on Facebook, definitely got deprioritized, and people had a hard time finding my stuff. So this little quote-unquote admission or policy change, I'm calling shenanigans on this because they've effectively been doing this for years. I suspect that some of these quote-unquote trusted news sources over the years have a working relationship, aka payments, that are going to Facebook to ensure that their content rises up higher. And now they're changing that. So another interesting aspect of this, according to Recode, is that Facebook is not taking responsibility on what those trusted news sources are. They're taking a Reddit-like approach where people have to upvote what they consider to be a viable news source. Zuckerberg made a direct quote saying, "We could try to make that decision ourselves, but that's not something we're comfortable with." I actually understand that. If they started filtering out specific news sources, they would get accused again of picking one tone, topic, agenda over another. It's a no-win situation. People are calling on Facebook to make these changes and to make these filters and to be quote-unquote socially responsible. But we're all a part of society. I would say the issue here is less about an individual person posting quote-unquote fake news or releasing content that may be controversial. It's those fake profiles that are churning out crap information that is catering to specific populations of people. That's the problem. That's the thing that they fundamentally need to attack. They have to figure out a way of validating actual humans, so those humans are actually accountable for the things that they publish. And if you remember, Google tried to do that with their social media platform from a few years ago, Google+. People were very upset that you couldn't use fake names and aliases, that you had to basically be identified as a real person to participate on the platform. It's sort of interesting to see how certain social media platforms tried to attack these issues a couple years ago, and that they never caught on. There's a reason why there's a bazillion Wendy's and McDonald's out there. There's a room for crap in our society. We like the garbage. There is one thing that we can universally seem to agree on, is that we don't want our children to consume garbage. And that leads me to my final topic about Facebook, and that's children's access. As we established earlier in the podcast, younger populations are more disengaged with Facebook. They're using it less. Facebook has been sort of aware of this trend since 2013, and their response to this was to create Facebook Messenger Kids. Last December, the company launched a messaging service aimed at 6 to 12-year-olds. The company said it took extraordinary precautions to ensure children aren't targeted for advertising and their information isn't getting leaked to other places, and that they worked with childhood development experts. Yada, yada, yada. But they are effectively designing a social media platform for 6 to 12-year-olds. If you take the information that I said earlier, they want younger children on the platform natively much earlier, so they're less likely to jump off. Wired.com did a whole story about Facebook Messenger and some of the ethical issues about aiming a platform at younger children. And apparently they discovered that there's still squishy privacy sharing language, and I'm using their word squishy, in the user acceptance terms. So even though Facebook is saying they're going to be responsible with the data, there's a lot of loopholes where they can effectively sell and market and do all kinds of things with that data. The article also interviewed Kristen Strader, who is a campaign coordinator for the nonprofit group Public Citizen. And she's quoted as saying, "Facebook has proven it cannot be trusted with youth data in the past," pointing to a leaked Facebook report from May that promised advertisers the ability to track teen emotions, such as insecurity, in real time. Their response was just that they would not do similar experiments in the future. At the time, advocacy groups asked for a copy of that report, and Facebook declined. So Facebook is losing children. Facebook is trying to come up with ways of attracting children and get them hooked as lifelong users. And over the last few months, there's been a surprising group of people that have called out and are standing against children using social media. One of the most surprising is a former Facebook executive, Chamath Palihapitiya, who was a former Facebook executive and is now a CEO of a venture capital firm. He said in a November interview that social media is damaging to society, and he was even worried about the impact on his own children. And here's a quote from a Fox News article. "I think we all knew in the back of our minds, even though we feigned this whole line of untainted consequences, I think in the back recesses of our minds, something bad could happen. It literally is at a point now we've created tools that are ripping apart the social fabric of how society works. That is literally where we are. I would encourage all of you to internalize this. If you feed the beast will destroy you." Sean Parker, who was the founder of Napster and was also involved with Facebook's origins, also called out Facebook and what it could potentially be doing to our children's brains. Parker said that he has evolved into something of a conscientious objector when it comes to social media. And he also said that Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg understood that they were launching a website that could be addicting, and we did it anyway. Fortune.com covered a Parker speech for the Axios event last month, and here's a quote that they published. "The thought process that went into building these applications, Facebook being the first of them, was all about how do we consume as much of your time and conscious attention as possible." So that was their objective, and I think they met their objective quite well. One could argue about the effects on a fully formed human being, but these comments do raise a lot of questions about children's access. Even Tim Cook, the Apple CEO, is speaking out against social media. In a quote from The Guardian, he said, "I don't have kids, but I have a nephew that I put some boundaries on. There are some things that I won't allow, and I don't want them on a social network." We've been living with social media for about a decade. And while I've been negative during this podcast about the consequences to society, there's also been benefits. During the SourceCast episode 100 roundtable conversation, we had a pretty healthy conversation about the benefits of social media for people who travel or move to different countries, how people can connect and reconnect with each other. If you left your home country as a teenager and haven't been able to speak to relatives or friends because of cost issues, or just because you couldn't find them, and then suddenly you can look somebody up on Facebook, that's kind of amazing. But then there's this subtext of intent. If there's a desire to keep you active on that platform all day instead of doing other things, there's a waft of nefariousness to that. And not to keep quoting episode 100 of SourceCast, but we also talked about targeted advertising, which is obviously a major part of how Facebook makes money. They track your activities, they track your behavior, and then they sell that information to advertisers so they can better target you for product purchases. And we're all aware of that now, but when these services started, we didn't know that. That wasn't as transparent as it probably should have been. It's been interesting to me to read about Facebook in the context of fake news, because I've never really viewed Facebook as the place where I would gather or read news. I'm sure many people do, because it's probably their only social media site. But to me, Facebook has always been a place where I could post pictures of my kid or see pictures of my cousins, kids, and family, etc., etc. And Twitter has always been the place where I look for news. And as people have moved away from Facebook to other platforms like Instagram and Snapchat, like the teen demographic that we mentioned earlier, I'm finding myself less engaged on Facebook and looking for reasons to go on. So this is a long-winded way of saying, for me, I'm really wondering if I should even have a Facebook account anymore. And in hindsight, I have to say that I think Facebook's problem was 100% created by Facebook. They've created this problem, and they're going to have to figure out a way to get people to re-engage. But I don't think that they're going to be successful. I think it's going to be a very slow and very profitable for them decline. Remember, Facebook wasn't the first social media platform. There was Friendster and MySpace. And look what happened to both of those sites. I really should end this podcast with saying, you can find me on Facebook at blah, 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 blah. But I'm not going to do that. Good luck staying away from fake news. And not to be a preachy parent, but if you have children that have access to social media, especially if they're younger, maybe this is a good time to talk it out, see what's going on, see how they're using it. I'm not going to say get them off of it or anything like that, but if you're not paying attention to what's going on with their social media, now's probably a good time to check it out.
And that's all we have for this week. You can follow SourceCast on iTunes, Google Music, and all of your favorite podcasting applications. SourceCast is recorded in bucolic Mandarin, New Jersey, and it's produced by my dad. The outro is performed by me, Ben Lombardi, and music is provided by Patrick Lee. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.